But you drive home now for 21. Aloha Gimel. Almost like it's out to me, as I can make him. He said, two people, I stole from one of you, $100, many of that is in me, Kim. I don't know from which one of you. Obviously, I can become if kid at sleep mona. One of your fathers left $100 for me. Your day, Azahu, I don't know which one of you. Those are the mona, Zemon, is to give each one of them $100, which is difficult for the money of Vamas, which more is going to ask over here. Come on, your Vamas, so if Machlokas, if we keep Rabbi Tarfa, if you stole from five people or borrowed from five people, we don't know from which one. So the question is whether you have to give back to each one of them, or Mediach Xelo, Benem, Mistal, you leave whatever you stole from front of all five and you run away. So I was going to ask that question over here. Show them Piazza. Why is this that he gives each one $100? Because he can concede on his own that he's liable, so therefore he has to give to each one individually. Shnayim Shif Kidu Eitel Echot. Two people gave a cut to a certain individual. Zemon of Zemon, this guy gave $100 because this guy gave $200. Zemon of Zemon, each guy says $200 are mine. No single Zemon of Zemon, he gives each one of them $100. But Shran, the other, which is under dispute, Yemunacha Chevalio remains under abeyance. He doesn't give it over until the Yonavi comes and tells us to it belongs. V'chein sheikelim, so too, there are two vessels. Echad yofa manav, echad yofa elav zuz. One is worth $100, one is worth $1,000. Zelmer sheyofa sheli, this one says, a beautiful one is mine. The more valuable one is mine. Zelmer yofa sheli, this guy says, the more valuable one is mine. Notice there's a kotel echad mehem, you give the smaller one to one of them. When we talk about gado, and you sell the larger one or the more prestigious, more valuable one, and you give the Minosa the Mayor Katan Shane, you give it the value equivalent to the value of the first vessel to the second guy. Bashar, and the difference in price, Yemunach Chavelio. It should be remain until the Yonavi comes. Rabbi Yosef says in Cain, in that case, Maivsi Ramoy. What loss is there to the cheater? Elakol Yemunach Chavelio. Everything remains in abeyance until the O comes. In other words, perhaps as a deterrent, this way people won't be so quick to cheat, so therefore we say the whole thing was frozen and nobody gets their money back.
Each one is getting, let's say, $100
worth. Right. So the other $900 is frozen.
Yeah,
so that's going down a comma. Rabbi Yossi holds you freeze the whole $1,100. Both the Kelut worth $1,000 and the Kelut worth $100, you freeze the whole thing.
Why, even the cheater?
Yeah, but then we're not finding him. He doesn't want the cheater not to. Doesn't want just want cheaters not prosperous. Right, doesn't want to get. Exactly. I assume he would say the same thing about the first case as well, yeah. Well, it's not clear, but I assume it's the same thing. All right, Yavobashir and Yochanan said, Khan, what's the difference between here and Yavomas? So Kamba Orin. So the difference is that in Yavomas, they're claiming from him. Orin literally means they're complaining. They're claiming from him. So therefore, what he does is he doesn't know which one he owes to. So therefore, he just leaves one among all of them and he runs away. Kamba shows him here. They're not claiming for him, but rather he's coming in his own initiative and confessing, especially a form of doing tshuva. So therefore, he had part of his doing tshuva is that he will he has to give to each one of them.
Were you listening to the radio? Is that what it is?
Hear anything more than what Dr. Sedell told me?
Well, it's remanded back to the Florida Supreme Court. The Justice Stevens had a quote that it's unclear who the winner is in this case, but the real loser is the fact that now people don't look at judges as being impartial deciders of matters.
So, he said that.
But he writes that in a
exactly true.
The whole judicial system.
Yeah.
You say basically we're all biased. That's a tough thing to write. Posterity.
Mm-hmm. They'll get over it. They got over the Dred Scott decision. It took a few decades, but they got over Dred Scott.
Over Clinton.
Yeah. But no, not over Clinton. It was all because of Clinton. Anyway, this is a never. So we're on Daf Yud Alpha base. Just started the Gemara. I might just mention that today in the New York Times they had a little blurb about each of the justices. So they said Justice Thomas didn't ask any questions yesterday. Justice Thomas, it says, never ask any questions or arguments. His supporters and clerks say it's because he believes he does not clarify the issue during oral arguments. Looks to other ways to clarify it. Guy must be an absolute moron. All right. Rav Moshe Yochanan de Kambor in here again in Yevamos. They're claiming the five guys claiming you stole from me, you stole from me, you stole from me. So therefore, he just puts the gzela among the two of them and runs away. Khan here in Bamatir Tabashoskim, they don't claim anything. He comes and concedes on his own that he sinned. He wants to atone basically for his sin, and therefore the only way he can do that is by reimbursing each of the potential people who he stole from or who God gave him a bikaron, and he doesn't remember who it was.
It's not going to stop people from wanting to atone because it's going to be on $500 instead of just $100.
Yeah, but there's no takanas shavim on this because there's no way of doing it. The takanas shavim is where there's some way of doing justice by paying instead of destroying something or... But there's no way of doing it here. There's no equitable way of doing it other than making him pay.
So he pays for him not to. Not
that's right.
To
pays for him not to wait until they schlep him to court. That's right. According to this answer, right. The answer should be able to compensate him. You ain't in compensate him. That, according to the Pnei Moshe, means that where the our mission is talking about there, ain't him know of the Gzela. So then, since they know he was a thief, so they have to give to each one of the people who then she stole from. And so they don't know he's a Gazlan. So therefore, you just put one among all of them and run away. I would say opposite. I would say the Edim Yoedim means the Edim know who the Pikadim belongs to. It's just that the Edim aren't here right now. But there are Edim somewhere who know who the Nigzal is and who the Bikadim belongs to, and then he can put the Gzal among all five of them and run away, because eventually Edim will come and clarify who it belongs to. But over where there are no Edim anywhere which know about it, so in that case he has to reimburse each one of the people individually. Rabbi Hashem Rav said, Kam Nishba, Kam B'Shalo Nishba. Now it's not clear who's saying Shvua here. One could learn that the two potet two nixalim or two bali pikadon are taking the shvuah. They're saying we take a shvuah that you stole from us. We take a shvuah that you we gave you something for safekeeping. But the way the pashas is that it's actually not that way, but rather that the borrower, the person who stole or the person who had pikadon takes the shvuah, right? So it depends whether he took the shvuah or didn't take the shvuah. And to the Tamanomin, there the same Shem Rav, Shom Nishba Kamba Shalo Nishba. That it depends whether he took also the same type of idea, that it depends whether he took the Shvuah or not. So in this case, if he took the Shvuah, one second. There's a Tosefta. Tosefta says, he gives to each one of them $200. Because if not, he should have been silent. Now, what does that mean? It means that he if he took a shvua, that he didn't have to be kadon, or that he didn't steal. That shvua requires him to pay to the full amount because he was a liar. If he didn't take a shvua, it was just silent, then he could put the gzela among all five of them or two of them and run away. But the moment you take a shvua, your shvua requires you to make good on that shvua. What does it mean, make good on that shvua? It requires you to make sure to reimburse anybody for your shvua potentially shortchanged, which could be one person, two people, five people. It makes no difference. You have to take care of that situation. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, by the four, forget. Im b'shenishba. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, Im b'shenishba, if it's talking about a case where he took a shvua. So, there's trying to so put to the words, "Bida tani in lo haylo lishto." Concerning this, it says that he could have been silent. Now, the way Rabbi Yirmiyah understands the brayso is not that he could have been silent and not taken the shvua, but it means that he could have been silent and not pay back each person. Which is very strange, Rabbi Yirmiyah says. And I don't know where Rabbi Yirmiyah understands the brisa that way. I wasn't supposed to the way. Rabbi Yirmiyah understands the brisa that he can be silent after having taken the full shvuah. But that's not true, obviously. Because at that point, the halach is if you're nishbal sheker to your friend, you have to be moilach pruta, afilu pruta, achrav lamada. You have to go as far as possible in order to reimburse him. So that's Rabbi Yirmiyah's asking the question. So Rabbi Yirmiyah suffered may marhelo lishtok v'lo lahodos. So the Gemara answers, and I don't know why it says Rabbi Yirmiyah suffered. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question, but I'm sorry. No, the Gemara doesn't explain what I just said. Rabbi Yirmiyah suffered may Rabbi Yirmiyah holds marhelo lishtok lahodos. You should have been silent after the shvuah, and not have been moed and not have conceded that he took a false shvuah. And again, I understand where Rabbi Yirmiyah understood the price that way. It's very strange. Rabbi Yasa understands the way I understood it. Rabbi Yasa suvar meimar ha'elishtok v'olishova. And of course, once you take the shvuah, you have to reimburse everybody. But the price of means you shouldn't sign means you shouldn't take the shvuah. But now that you took the shvuah, you have to reimburse every potential person shortchanged. Again, unlike the case where we didn't take shvuah, where Meniach Gzeli, you could put whatever you stole among all five of them and run away. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Im b'shenishba, if you took a false oath, ha'elo la'aso shliach basin, then you should become like a shliach basin." So it's a little bit of a strange thing. Well, not a little bit, a lot of a strange thing. That the shliach, if you took a false oath, so then you should be considered like shliach basin to make good on the shvuah which you swore improperly. And Rabbi Yochanan said, "Remember, a shliach basin should also goizo." This is the shliach basin is the thief, right? In other words, I made a mistake. If he took an oath, then he should not have to pay each of the people independently. Rather, he should point the shliach basin, and the shliach basin should then clarify to whom to pay back, and if he can't, he too should just give it among all of them, and they should decide. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Remember, shliach basin should also goizo." Rabbi Yochanan holds the gazan himself can make a shliach basin. Tanya Chorin, we learned another brisa, however, it's which argues Rabbi Yochanan, which holds shliach basin should also nigzal, that the shliach basin can only be made by the nigzal, by the person who had been stolen from, and not by the person who was stole. So therefore, the truth is that one can actually learn that this is, although it's not clear exactly to me, one can actually learn this as a different answer. In other words, whoever may, if you understand the reconciliation between Yevamos and here. Did he understand that the shliach basically made by the gazan, so then the shliach basically put the gzela among all five of them and run away? But if the shliach basically being made by the nigzal, so then the nigzal has no option, the gazan has no option of putting the gzela among all five of them or giving the shliach basically put them among all five of them and run away, because he doesn't have that kind of remedy. The remedy only, using the Supreme Court's terms, the only remedy you have is if you can appoint use based in as your tool, as a buffer between you and the potential creditors. So if you have the permission to do so, then you can, in fact, utilize Basin and say, look, I don't know from whom I stole. I don't know to whom I took the false oath. I don't know what the story is here. Here's the money. You, Basin, take care of it. And I can make Basin to my shliach, make, so to speak, a shliach Basin. But if I don't have the capacity, because the only people who make shliach or Basin are the victims, not the perpetrators, then I don't have that option, and I therefore have to reimburse each and every one of them independently. Right? So it's machlokas, essentially, whether I can use a buffer, meaning Basin, and therefore prevent myself from paying every one of them, or I can't use such a buffer, because the base only acts on the victim's behalf, not on the perpetrator's behalf.
Well, the victims are not going to be able to get together and decide on who the shliach based is going to be, maybe a logistical problem.
Right, no, that's
well,
true.
Maybe they can.
That's true, theoretically, but it's not in their best interest to do it in this case, right, because they each want to go after him independently. It's a good point. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tani, we learned the Shliach again. Tani Choron, Tani Shliach based in Tani Choron. Tani, we learned another statement. It says Shliach based in Shoso. Nigzav lo Shliach based in Shoso goes. Amrei Lavila said, Afanan Nanitin of Omar. We also learned a Briso which says, of Higzela, Hibila, Himilve. That all these things. All these things are the same. If you stole from five people, you don't know from which one. If you married five women, you don't know which one. Or you divorced you married five women, you don't know which one. And you have to give a ksuva. You want to divorce them all and give a ksuva to only one of them, right? He milve. And milve is if you borrow from five people, you don't know which one. However, those are all the same. And those, all of them, you can put the gazelle in the middle, run away, the ksuv in the middle, run away, the repayment in one middle, one run away. However, kol modim b'pikad on the masniso. However, everybody agrees that by pikadon it's different. By pikadon, in fact, there's yet another answer between the Shneir of Amos. By Pikadon, you must reimburse each one of the potential people. Why is that? From that which in the Bible said, if you said to two people, I stole from you, I don't know from which one, I stole from one of you, and I don't know which one, then, and the primary proof is from the safe of the Bible, is not brought down, the name Moshe brings it down, then you can put the Gzela among the two of them. But if you said, I got a Pikadon from the one of the two of you, and I don't remember which one, then you can't do that. Why? Because, as Pnei Moshe says right before the Mishnah, he was Boshea B'Nafsha, we should have known from whom we took it. So it's yet another answer, that the difference is between what type of issue was at hand. And most issues, you can in fact put one between all of them and run away, but if it's because, since the burden was upon you to keep proper records of whom you got to be coming from, in that case, we find and we say you have to give all both potential people potential repayment. Okay? If somebody leaves fruit by his friend, even if they're on the verge of loss, becoming rotten or ruined, you should never touch them. For the smartest man asks why. You should sell them from the basin, in order because you have to sell them and diminish whatever loss is going to be undergone by the original owners. Now, Armavaro said, "Im oimer at avunim he al yigabahem." Why do we say this? Because if you say Tanakama, if you say that even if it's lost, you shouldn't touch them, avumam tilohem, it should say takona. You'll find an etzer for them. In other words, this is an incentive for the baal bais who's safeguarding, but he doesn't want rotten fruit in his barn, right? So therefore, he can't sell it, right? So therefore, if that's the case, what we have to say is that. We have to make sure he's going to take the utmost caution. That's going to make sure that it takes the utmost caution. The fact that we say that you can't do anything with them.
It may be physically impossible to safeguard.
I mean,
it's
going to
go wrong.
Then, of course, call the owner. So that's the now. I should tell you the truth, not in the interest of truth and honesty, that that's Lieberman's Gersa. And it's based on an emendation of the Escorial Gersa. the way this Koyla actually reads, which is similar to actually Pnei Moshe says here, is that everybody might it's not a reason for Tana Kama, but it's a reason for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And same Rabbi Shimon Gamliel were saying that if you said that if he loses them, then he doesn't have to touch them, like Tana Kama, even they're lost, he doesn't have to touch them. So Afu Mamtilahem, the scroll says actually Takalo. In order to get rid of this Bikaron, he's going to hasten and provide a catalyst for the rotting process in order to get out of his responsibility. Right? So this actually would be, if any, whether you read it Takalo or Takano, it's either going to be the logic for Tana Kama, why they didn't allow you no matter what to get rid of them and to sell them, or the logic for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why, since they were afraid of two-timers, they compelled them to sell in a case where it's sustaining a loss. Now, actually, in the Yerushalmi, it's a straight machlokes. It's kind of Tana Kama, you can never sell. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you sell whenever there's a potential loss. In the Bible, it's not like the Bible, the Gemara talks about that the Tana Kama, so you talk about where the loss is at the normal rate, but where the loss is over the normal rate, that even according to Tana Kama, you can sell. Right, if it's getting lost more than one normally expect, but there are no such chilukim in the Yerushalmi over here. Says Mara, Rabbi Abba Yaakov Shem Yochan, Rabbi Avoh Shem Yochan said, Halok Rabbi Shem Gamliel that you can sell. Kada, like this case, Rabbi Yochan Kukah, Rabbi Yochan on the Sofer, Ifkin Gabi Rabbi Chila, Rabbi Chila Ruba, Rabbi Chila gate, the great. A certain container of a sack full of chametz. Asashol, and it was getting to be Erev Pesach. Asashol, Rebbe, so came to ask Rebbe, what's it do? Rebbe Chia came to ask Rebbe. So he said, when the time for beer chametz comes, you can sell based on Beis Din's say so. So here we see that in fact, where loss will be sustained, then you do sell the pikadum, right? Because your chametz are basically going to be obvious loss. Chabon has similarly a certain individual afki gabrichia barashi leparichia barashi chad gar the kutach is a measure, a container of the yolks, your sour milk and bread. Asher shol rab, he came and asked rab what to do. Armor, he said, Markel be basim shasu be yitzin sold by basin by under basin's supervision at the time of your chametz. Right. And now we see what the regular rate is. So I mean, Lily's food is because by its friend. Raise the Yotzi Lochazronos. Now, this is about a case of Pnei Moshe says, based on the Bavli, that it is a claim about a case where you didn't leave his grain independent of yours. So if you have no way of knowing precisely how much grain would be his at the end of the period allotted, right? Because you mix it in with his. And some of the grain goes rotten and it gets taken away by mice over time. So it says, Gemara, Mavki, Paris, it's a chesed, and least fruit by Israel, and a razor, Yotzilos, and Chesronis. And you mix them with among your own, you remove the erosion per factor. L'chitim, l'orez, for wheat and for rice, that's Tisha's Chatzi Kab and L'kur. That's 9.5 kabin per kor. The sorin l'daychan for barley and millet, tishas kabin l'kor, it's 9 kabin l'kor. The guzmin zera pishtan, for guzmin, which is rye and flaxseed, then much more, shloshasim l'kor, which is, there are 6 kabin in the saw, so that's 3 sayin is 18, twice as much, 18 kabin. But everything is relative to the amount which is given to the Bikaron and based on the time of year, because sometimes here there's more erosion, sometimes there's less erosion. Said, so what difference does it make? What does the mouse care? Right? No matter how much there is there, how much grain there is, the number of mice don't multiply. So therefore, the mice are going to eat according to the same rate if there's 50 bushels of grain or 1,000 bushels of grain. So rather, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ela Eina Motzi Lo Ela L'Kur Bilvad. The chesronos are only based on one core. Anything more than a core, we just assume the mice have ate their fill already. So he's looking clearly just at the mice issue, not at any other factor, right?
What about more mice?
He knows no more mice are going to come. The mice are going to discuss it. Tana Kama holds more mice will come. It's a machlokes and matzias, whether they're going to call their buddies. That's really what it is. So it says, Mora, Yotzi lo shtus liyain. Sorry, Rabbi Omer, imay sambita meruba, if it was a substantial measure, and amotzi chesronos, you don't take off any losses, meshu shemosiris, because it becomes more. And explains in the Bible that it expands over time. If you leave it in the summer, and you leave it, if you give it because in the summer, you leave it over the winter, it expands when it becomes full of moisture. So the moisture expands the grain. So even then, so you don't look at a potential loss because the loss would be more than offset by the bloating of the grains of wheat, which are safekeeping with the individual. Okay? Now it's interesting, the Bavli on this, Bavli says, very famous Bavli, it says that on this one it says, Ein brachah shoreh b'davar somim min ha'ayin, and we have something which is not counted, so it grows, you know, that there's a siyata d'shmaya, that the amount of stuff which is not counted grows. But Bavli doesn't bring that down over here. I mean, Shami. Says the Gemara, Yotzi lo shtus liyayin. A sixth of the wine you take off. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chumash a fifth. And they say in Rabbi Yehuda's area, the wine barrels used to absorb more wine. So therefore you deduct whatever the absorption, whatever absorption would have occurred on it. For him, you deduct also when you reimburse him from your own wine stores. Yotzeh shloshes lugim shemen lemei lug. Three lug of oil get knocked off 100 lug. And you also deduct for a half measure of sediment, which you're not going to give him. The log of mechzabel and a log and a half of absorption. If he had in mind to sell him pure oil, refined oil, you can't take out for him to deduct vis-a-vis the principle of the removal of the dregs, because anyway you promised him to be dregless oil. If he's using old jugs to store the wine or the oil, then there's no absorption factor because they're already fully absorbed by having been used in the past. Even if you sell pure refined oil the entire year, part of the profit margin is the dregs. Even though they're not there, they were stipulated not to be in the sale. But nevertheless, since they are, we do take into account, and you built in a potential dreg factor of a log and a half per 100 log. Now, everybody has a strange crowd on this, but I think the pshat is very simple. That Amish is talking about how much the mice eat at the time they're going, but things could change over time. Different times here, sometimes they, I don't know if mice hibernate, don't think they hibernate, but could we sometimes eat less, sometimes eat more, right? Winter they might eat more and need more body fat, and summer eat less. So what we said here was an average time, a time when they collect the grain in the silo. Tommy, they then said over the, in, there in Bavel, in next explaining Rabbi Rabbanan Shita, they say, these mice rishoyim. They're rishoyim. When they see a lot of food, they will call their buddies v'ochlanim homes, which is what you said before. So that's Rabban Ari. It's all proportional, not just a uniform measure, no matter how many measures of grain you have there. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ovdo sein, mispazo sein. Rabbi Yochanan says, they get lost and they scatter. In other words, it's not necessarily that the mice call their buddies. But even if you have a large quantity of ground, so of grain, so more gets lost because it scatters all over the place. So it's not necessarily a mice factor. It could just simply be a natural factor having to do with the spreading of the loss all around. Right? It trickles out of here, trickles out of there. The loss is greater the more bushels of grain you have. Yotzeh shus yain, you take a sixth for wine, right? You don't have a chodesh only fifth. On Rabbi Yosef, it said, "B'shalua ma'lo shem mezukah kani ma'milcho kol hashana." When he didn't say that I'm going to give you precisely, I'm going to give you. Rabbi Yosef is only true that which Rabbi Yosef said. When you sell refined oil, we also deduct for the dregs, even though they're not there. That's only if he didn't say that I'm selling you refined oil the entire year. But if you said, you said I'm selling you refined oil the entire year, it's your responsibility to make sure there are no dregs in the oil, no matter what kind of, what time of year, no matter what the circumstances are. Okay? Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that. Rabbi Yehuda just said, you take off generally this shmar when no specific stipulations are made. When specific stipulations are made, then you can't take off the shmar. Which seems to be bashar. I don't know exactly what he's saying. We don't know. Okay, Allah above. If somebody leaves a jug by his friend, and the owner did not designate a specific place in the Nifkat's house where it should be safe kept, the tiltla, and the owner carried it, the nishbar broke. If it broke while it's still in his hand, the tzarkot is moving it for his own purposes. Chayiv is liable. The tzarkot is moving it for the mafkid's purposes. Potter, he's exempt because he moved it with permission. Once you put it down, wherever you put it down, ben tzarkot, regardless of whether you put it down for his own purposes or for the purposes of the jug, potter. Makes no difference. Once you put it down, you put it back in its shmir position, and you are potter. You flew up by a mokum if the owner is going to designate a specific place. The tilter of a niche brought, broke, whether it slipped out of your hand or once you put it down, chayav, you are liable. I'm going to try to skip the word. The tzorak, if you move it for your own purposes, out of that place where the owner wanted to be, then you're liable. The tzarkot, if you moved it because the vessel needed something, because there's danger of being swept away by some earthquake or by tidal wave or by gonavim, then you're exempt from whatever breakage occurred, because that's considered to be part and parcel of your shmirah. Okay?
In this last case, are you putting it down because the bow or whatever told you to do it, and then...
You took the initiative, but you took the initiative with a good reason.
So it breaks, it falls and breaks as you're putting it down.
That's right.
Not when you're putting it down and picking it up again.
No, but what difference does it make?
Well, in the act of putting it down, you may be the shooting for the person.
Putting it down is better for it, right?
Yeah.
So you're asking when you picked it up again, before you go back to stage one, then you'd be liable. Okay? Say it tomorrow. I love locating my Blazer. Lamadar Vadama, I don't stand. Isn't this like what Rabbi Blazer said? That's similar to going of Khavis and Martev Khaver. If I steal wine from your wine cellar, I've usually the other buyer in the McNabe, it's only double Khazar. Even though the owners didn't know it was taken, they have to know when it's given back. So even if I put it down, once I picked it up, for whatever purpose, putting it down, it shouldn't be good. Right? Once a shomer picks up the shalom shoes for his own purposes, so what if he puts it down again? You have to tell the guy, I was moel, so to speak. I abused my shmir. Now put it back. Now I put it back. Don't you have to tell him? Otherwise, how does it work if you don't tell him? And it's not like sheep. We had a case earlier in Sefer, if you steal a sheep, or maybe Baba Kama. If you steal a sheep, you can put it back in the herd and not tell them. Because there, the herd is not necessarily perfectly counted in any way. He might not have missed it. And besides that, he'll notice the animals that goes along, right? But here, the Gemara is asking, if you steal some an object, if you have to give it back, you'll notify the original owner that you're giving it back. Armei said, Shani, very cool lumdish svara. Shani sheesh lo rishusole. Here, he's the own bialim vis-a-vis that. He's schizophrenic. On the one hand, he's a thief. On the other hand, he's the owner. How is he the owner? Because he is the safekeeper. So therefore, he notified himself by putting it down. He put it back in the Bialim's Rishus, because right now, he represents the Bialim's Rishus. That's how it works.
Did the Baal
That's part of being a Mamma Nifkat. That's part of making him a Shomer. I don't know if the Bialim accept, they don't express that. That's implicit. That's what he's contending. Okay, now the next Gemara, until the next Mishnah is messed up. But nothing out of line for the Yerushalmi, but I'm going to read you like this Scorial has, because it's with one change which Lieberman makes. But the Scorial is very nice on this. And it's more or less like the Mora says here, but there's some significant changes, so you can tag along. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, instead of Rabbi Lazar, in the fourth line. It said, Is Aran Armin, B'sheyesh Shusel Shomer Aleh. That we say when the Shomer is in fact designated as the representative of the order, right? What is our question? If the owner designated a specific location house, in other words, he said, Yaakov, I'm going to give you my tape recorder. Keep my tape recorder in that corner over there in your house. You designated a place in the safekeeper's house, or Shomer's house. But if you put it in another place, if you put it somewhere else, in that case, it depends. If you put it back in the same place, you are exempt. If you put it back in a different place, you are liable. And that's what goes on. It says here, if you put it out another place, Bain Sarko, regardless of what you put somewhere else, you are chayav for sure. Okay, again, if the Bayam Yachi Mokom, and you put it back in the same place, are you liable or not? Because we're Sholech Yah, but you put it back in the same place. But if you put it back in a different place, everybody holds your chayav. What about if we say, Eimrish was a Shomer Aleh? That the Shomer has no jurisdiction over it. Meaning that once he picks it up, that's it. He loses his status as a Nifkar. It's a new point which Gemara hasn't made till now. Gemara is assuming till now, he always is the Shomer. It's just that where there was a designated point to put it back, so he didn't put it back at that designated point, so then he didn't return it to the proper place of Shmira. But now the Yerushalmi throws in again, it's in the Yerushalmi here, but now kind of out of order. It's in the third to last line for Mishnah. What do we say? She'en Rishus L'Shomer Aleh. Meaning that the owner only intends that it should be the Shomer representing him until the Shomer does something untoward. Once he does something untoward, then it's over. So in that case, En Rishus L'Shomer Aleh, Lo Shana Ben Osa Mokom Ben Mokom Acher, makes no difference where he puts it in the same place or different place. The circle chayev, if he takes it for his own purposes, he is liable. The tzarkah, if he takes it for the purpose of the keli, then potter. Why is he potter? Because even though the owner did not give him permission to do anything to abuse it, but nevertheless, if he's moving from place to place in order to save it itself, then it's possible to say in that case that he's potter regardless. Now, and we're talking about obviously a case where we hold, according to a logic, that we hold that a shmir finished, but not that he has to put it back in the same place, that he has to necessarily, and not with yichud l'makom, not that the place is designated. So in the case where a place is designated, then for sure he has to put it back in the designated spot. If he doesn't put it back in the designated spot, for sure he's left. You put it back in the designated spot, then it depends if we say that his shmira continues past his picking it up or not. If the shmira continues past picking up, then if he puts it down the same place, it's okay. If the shmira doesn't continue, then even if he puts it down the same place, it shouldn't be okay. But even there, the Yerushalmi, according to the version in the Scorial, has a question. Perhaps if you moved it for its purpose, then it might be okay.
To save it for somebody,
then it might still be okay, even if yichdu lo b'ayli mokim, and even if you have the kosher shmira, so we say shmira ends, even if you have a double whammy against you, it's still possible to say that in the case where you moved it for its own purpose, for the purpose of saving it, then maybe it will be potter. Okay? So it's not clear in the end.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what I was going to say later
on. So then, for sure, he should be Patur. If he's saving it from an Onus.
Yeah.
No,
he's only Chayv an Onus if he picked it up to move it originally with malicious intent. If he picked it up with innocent intent, they wouldn't be liable. Or if you left it there, wouldn't be liable either. So that's the malicious intent which makes him liable for the Onus. So it's a couch 22. Okay, Allah Azai. Hamafki Mosei Tzachaveh, if someone leaves money by his friend, Tzoran, he wraps some Shilachar, puts him behind him in a knapsack, or Muslim no bitok time, he gives it to his sons, daughters, or minors, or Nafa, or Nali, if they leave name Shilokaroi, he lock in front of it improperly. He's Chayav in all his case. Shilok Sharmak Dara Sharm, it's not the way Sharm watch. Sharmak Dara Sharm, only if you watch like Sharm watch, both of them accept. Om Rabbi Yisrael says the teacher went up, and this is the right Bayanash, the Yoyev Lechavrei Palterin. Now, nobody knows exactly what a palterin is. Some say, Shad Yisrael says, it's some large clumps of herbs, which are not normally carried by adults because they're too large and too cumbersome, so therefore they give them to kids to carry. So Lieberman learns, and I don't know how he gets it, because of some Greek word, it means an enema. So he says, gives his friends marketplace. If the guy, the Nifka, gives it to his sons or even the Ktanim and Nignivor and gets stolen or off to a lost potter, means the Shami or potter example. Shani Omer, I say, everybody changes it, it should be Shaloso Daito Liton Potter in Bashuk. Fascinating concept. I didn't have in mind. Especially if you say it's an enema. It didn't come on my mind to go take schlep Yankel to court and say, Yankel, you owe me my enema! Right? So therefore, since you didn't have that in mind, so that means that you were not makbid inherently how you show merit. Anything, it's like, kind of like the Rabbi Heinemann leniency to go 10 miles over the speed limit. Or whatever, 10% over the speed limit. Because he said, he asked the police, and they said they're not mocking it over it, so you get 10% over the speed limit. So he held his mutter to go 10% over the speed limit. Why? Because whatever they're going to time them, saying by copyrights, right? People copy certain songs on tapes because they know the people are not going to come to prosecute for that thing. So actually, the law becomes what people will prosecute you for, not. I mean, the Dina Machusa and the Halach exam comes, but people prosecute for not what the strict letter of the law is. So if it's known that somebody who gives something like this over Shmiras, it's cheap and perhaps embarrassing, he's never going to tie it in court, so the Shomer in turn doesn't have to provide it with the utmost proper Shmira. Isn't it fascinating, Halacha? It really makes a lot of sense. That's what we're saying over here. Okay? You know? Heard of the Heinemann Ether? Have you been speeding all these years? Yes. You know what? Safety, Dina Machusa doesn't apply. But he holds that Dina Machusa applies to Takonas and Medina, right? And this is Takonas and Medina. To make sure people do drive safely. So for then the child is, at what point do you do that? It's interesting concept because people, it's not ever clarified. If you transgress Dina Machus Adina, you have to say in Yom Kippur, Achechuch Tamil Fanecho Bedina Machus Adina. Right? So that's really the issue which we're talking about. Right? So in theory, according to Rabbi Heinemann's perspective, there's no difference between this and cheating on your taxes. So it'll be the same problem.
10%.
10%. I wasn't thinking about that way. Sure you want that on tape? Okay, so David, so you have to say to you over here, if a guy is not going to taina it, obviously he didn't mean to get full shmir on it, and therefore it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay? Masayom Shem Echinim Nishba V'yotze. When they say Shem Echinim can get off the hook, Bizman Shishimer Kederach Hashem, when he was Shemir properly, no Koroi is locked properly, Koshkoroi, he tied up properly, Nosa Mafundoso, he put it in his wall properly, Tzorim Bistino, he put it in, he wrapped it in his mattress, basically. In a sheet. Mishul in front of him, and he put the money in front of him. You know, when he was walking, he carried it like this. If you put it in proper strong box, it was then lost and sold. Chai b'shvua, it's chai b'shvua that he wasn't negligent, but Pardim Mishalim is exempt from pain. But he may shame him, and if he may shame him, he's got witnesses. I'm sure Pardim is part even from witness, from shvua, right? No, however, she knows Shlokra if he didn't lock properly. Kashlokra, he tied him properly. If she didn't lock her, if he put it, he carried it behind himself, as far as in front of himself. That's the Rosh Chodesh, he put it on top of his roof, not in the box. When he was stolen, Chayim Lushayim is liable to pay. Nothing in Malkum should know he retained Shalom. If he puts it in place, he knows he puts his own. He may have a royal Shmir. Potter's also, if it's not a regular Shmir, but he's exempt, he loan, if not Chayim is liable. Okay? Hamalki mostly to Shukhanis. Somebody leaves money by a money changer. Even certain if they're bundled with Ishtamish Ram, then the money changer cannot use them. With Yilgah, therefore, him of the Inachaya Bachrusa. And with that loss, he's not liable to pay for them because this is a Shermer Kinam. Shermer Kinam is part of Naveda. In Mutarim, if however they're open, Ishtamish Ram, then money changer can use them. If you are therefore, him of the, if they're lost, Chaya Bachrusa, you're liable for responsibility for them. It's a Baal Bais, if he was left by a Baal Bas, regardless, you shouldn't use them, whether they're sealed or not sealed. The storekeepers like the Baal Bas, if you're a mayor, and you can't use them whether they're sealed or not. Rabbi Yehuda, American Shulchani, depends if they're sealed or not. Ravuna Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Boy. Ravuna asked Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's actually used sealed, but it actually means looser bundle in our Mishnah. Now Ravuna has said, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, Matsur Ma. When it says sealed, you can't use them. It means sealed with a seal. I mean bundled with a seal, a bundle without a seal. If you're going to say eat them, you're going to say you're only not allowed to use them when they're bundled with a seal. There's no seal, you're allowed to use them. Eat them, because they said even when there is no seal, not allowed to use them. Koshkim b'choisim, certainly if it's sealed, you're not allowed to use them either. And the Bavli has a portion that it's only if it's bundled and sealed, it's also, but not if it's bundled and left open. Hashlech yabi b'kodol, somebody who casts his hands against an object given to him for safekeeping. Bisharmi says, Yilka b'choser v'yeser. Whatever happens, it goes down in price, goes up in price, before the time he gives it back, he has to pay the difference. Basil says it goes by the time which he took it out of the shoes of the Bishul owner. Rabbi Kilmer, B'Shasotzoa goes after the time he sued him in court. HaKoshim Shulechia, because somebody just thinks, don't even think of it. You think to Nekubishulechia to cast your hand against an object given to you for safekeeping. B'Sham Mechai, B'Sham says you're liable. B'Sham Mechai, B'Sham says you're not liable. Atro Shishlok Boyan, it's actually to the Maisa. Kate also. No, this is a general explanation of Mishnah. He tells the Chavis if you incline a jug, the nothing man of East, you take from Revius, and you are the Shomer. The niche when it breaks, and the Shomer Revius, you have to pay Revius because Revius you should not have taken. He'd be up, but if you picked it up, the nothing man of East, and he took from Revius, the niche brought, and then the jug broke, Mishnah Mishnah, you pay everything. So it depends, you literally have to take possession of it in order to be Shlech HaPikara. And it depends how much of it you took possession according to this time of Mishnah. Says Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Akiva, goes after the time of the man. Kishas Fiyasa, basically, goes after the time of the man in court. Yerushalayim Rav said, look, Rabbi Akiva, Hafilu Beisil Chalukil, Hafilu Beisil Arizim, Belong, so like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Merchisa, Maisa, Havos, a certain episode, for Ra, Rabbi Krabi Akiva, Rabbi Pasan Akiva, that it goes after the Shah, Shah's Tfiyah, the time when he subpoenas him to court. Amar Rav, Rav Yishim said, Mishah Ein Shom Eidim. The Omar Chuluk submissions when there are no witnesses. Avon Yishim Eidim, but if there are witnesses, Kama Moida Ador Akiva, Eidim holds the cause of Krabi Akiva. And it's very strange why it should be that way, because it's counterintuitive. It means that if there are witnesses, which should make it a more stringent case, it actually doesn't go after the time when the witnesses saw it occur, but after the time they go to court, because it gives it a time of tefillah. Well, so everybody has difficulty with this. It's not in the Bavli. The Bavli doesn't say anything this word. And some people try and distort the Ujami. But the way the Rabbi has a Lieberman says, so he's still not quite the same. He says, there's a question of B'yom Asher Ashmoso, B'yom Asher Mo, I forget, it brings down the language. B'yom Ashmoso. So after witnesses, goes after the day of court. That's what fixes the price which the shomer has to pay for having mitzvah le'achyan. And the reason for that is, obviously because of Xeris of Kosov, but more than Xeris of Kosov, it has to do with the fact that if there are Edim, the Edim are the ones which allow you to ascertain something is true. Not just an allegation, but something is actually true. So therefore, the allegations also are significant, right? If somebody is shaleachyan, you allege he was shaleachyan, and you can verify that the thing is broken, or whatever the case may be, and obviously circumstantially proves that it's true. So then, there might be all sorts of other standards used, but the Iker standard is Eidus, and the Iker standard when Eidus is manifest is when you go to court. Okay? It's schwer. It's not glatt, but that's the must be the pshat. Asu the kumer rabbi nasa certain kaitz kiv rabbi nasa vayel rabbi kiv pasuk rabbi kiv. My day b'shabbos hachi b'shabbos who says you go even after a thought b'sholeach yad because it says al kol tvar pesha an all matter of pesha what's tvar even a dover even an expression. No expression is expression of thought, right? It's not a deed. So once he says, "Hinani muchanum zuman lishloach yad," from that time is liable. Basically, what mamakayim basil called var pesha was basically do with alcohol tvar pesha. He once enunciated, "Yochel ein liyel of chulei." Now, do not be confused. The small print here is also Yerushalmi. She said it wasn't in the Leiden manuscript. It was in some other manuscript, but it is in the Iskorial. So unfortunately, we have to learn it. So, I'm sorry. But we won't finish it tonight. My time of Beisham was my Beisham. It goes back. Pesha, I'll call it our Pesha. Mamakayim be Beisilo Pesha, I'll call it our Pesha. Tipote Shishoch Bol Yarai De Shliach. I'll call it our Pesha means even if you weren't Shliach Yad yourself, it's like normally ain't Shliach Varavera. But if you say to your household servant, go bring me that jug, and that jug was a Pikotam, and we're supposed to move it, then that also going to be Shamus to be Shulus Yad. Reyeskeh boy, automatically tol or not tau? Doesn't say order, but it should. So, does it mean he takes it in order does he have to actually take it away from the place where it is, not to be sure like that, or even if he just picks it up? There's more of a wait a minute. But time revision, we say nishbro shech mitzah, if it broke or went sour, after the Shalech, Yad Nusselot, the Mekul, you pay the entire thing. So, Kulich Mitzah, Machmas Tilto, why does it become vinegar? Not just become picking up. When it becomes vinegar if you actually moved it. So, we see that moving is the criteria, not just picking up. Shmuel Abba Ben Shem Rabbi Lezer said, Shil Siachin and Bashem Mechinim, Eino Shchayev Acho Shiachzer. It's going to actually have to start causing a loss. It's not enough to use Shalech, Yad, that he moved it or picked it up, you have to actually start causing a loss. Says more Rabbi Shmuel, boy, Kumir Rabbi Vo, Shmuel Asher Vo, Mata Mata, Chisa Afilo Chisa. Does Tak have the loss or not a loss? I'm going to say, I understand your question. Lo Hashilta, the Rabbi Yitzchak Chanina. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's question. Lito Nata, right? Does it mean you have to actually take it away? Or is it enough that you just picked it up? Itamar Lito, if you're going to say that you just pick it up, which is Lito, Filo Chisa, even if it's not missing anything. Not if it says you have to actually take it away, and it could then even then it has to be a coin depending on which the barometer is not moving, but rather chisaron. So if you're going to say the coin demandamar, the barometer is moving once you actually moved it, not just picked it up. So coin demandamar requires chisaron. It actually is now when you picked it up, and that was catalyst of chisaron, but when the chisaron actually started occurring. Okay, two parallel opinions here. So says in Tamar Litol, you're going to say that it's even if you picked it up, but not didn't yet take it away. If you put it back either immediately or on the spot in its place, to its own place, Bein Lemokom Macher. What? Yeah, but I think it got
told Natal worked messed up. Lito is, you're right, but frying the bottom. I used to leave when I was praying, but now I think the frying is correct. He says in the bottom, "In tamely tol, yisir benekol benamokam acher potter." If you say litol, in other words, now I'm confused because I don't remember which is litol, which is not tol. Which means you just pick it up, you're liable. So you see, I've been welcome to Kaima. No, okay, so it's gotta be. Okay, Lieberman changes the first word in the line here from Potter to Chayev. So now that makes sense. I'm just thinking out loud because obviously I messed it up when I was preparing. If you're going to say you're already liable the moment you pick it up out of place, even though you're moving anywhere. No matter what, you're liable. That's more stringent because you even picking it up and maybe putting it down, you're liable. You're going to say only if you moved it elsewhere. Then if you picked it up and put it right back down in the same place, you're potter. If you're wearing, of course, the Mokamacher, if you live somewhere else, so that fulfills the criteria of Natal, and then you're liable, then you're Chayev. Okay? So we're linking these two things together, whether it's say if it's Lito, the moment you picked it up, you already become liable, regardless where you put it down. If it's Natal, it's only if you actually moved it, not if you put it back in the same spot. Okay, the next thing, this starts in the Sugya, not quite in the Sugya, but we'll start, we'll call it a day, and continue to try to be as well as possible.